Welcome back. This is the Uncle Felix podcast. Been on a hiatus for a few months. For those of you that don't know, I was blocked by a few social media sites, including YouTube for about 3 months, TikTok actually just shut me down, and Facebook wouldn't allow me to go live for about 3 months. So finally, that is up. We are back now. We are back now as the Uncle Felix podcast. I am bringing on a co-host. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with him. I like to call him Chris the Tax Guy. He's great. He's coming in from Arizona. He provides great perspectives. You know, we agree on a lot of things. We don't agree on some, but we have a pretty good rapport, and we can pretty much talk about any subject, which we're gonna tackle a little bit today. Obviously, today being Martin Luther King Day, God rest his soul. He was a great man, left behind a great legacy. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So without any further ado, let me bring on my guest. Here we are. It's been a little while. It took us both off the show. How's it going?
For a second, I thought your guest was MLK. I'm like, oh shit.
that would be something.
Hey, they can have Michael still doing shows. So.
So how's it been? Happy New Year, by the way.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, man. It's been a while. It's been a minute for sure.
Yes, it has. You called me earlier today, but I was at the getting my petty done. Matter of fact, here's a picture of the hardworking woman there.
I'm telling you right now, she does not get paid enough. She needs to get every time you walk in that door, I'm sure she questions her life choices. Like that is like I can tell you right now, you couldn't pay me enough to do that job. There's no way, not even close.
Poor thing. She was working hard today. Like 5 minutes in, she was wiping her brow. The poor thing. But I tipped her well.
You better.
But just to show you how hard she was working, I took the whole family, me, the wife, and my two boys. We went down. They all got pedis and manicures. I just got the pedicure. But they did their pedi, their mani. And she was still working on me. They had to wait. so she was working hard.
Listen, man. Your talents. There's no way. I'm telling you, man. You walk in the door. She's probably thinking, I don't know where I went wrong in my life. I should have been a hooker. Like I could have been doing five polos. I could have been doing any other fucking thing. But I got to do this fucking motherfucker's feet. Holy shit!
I don't know what it is. Every time I go in there, she's the one too that they call upon. So she must have some superpowers or something.
Yeah, a sand belt or a belt sander. That's why I see you texting me that photo. I was like, where's the blowtorches and the belt sanders?
She plugged in some tool and the whole light started dimming in the whole place.
Yeah, she was trying to electrocute herself in that little water bucket. She's like, fuck this, I'm dying. I'm done. Jeez, I'm going to drop this lamp in this fucking bucket right now. And see you later, girl. I'm out.
Come on, I can't speak no more. It wasn't that bad.
I'm sure for you it wasn't. I'm sure it was very relaxing and wonderful.
They do a great job over there, by the way. And but yeah, shout out to I think it's VIP Nails and Nails and something anyway in Cumberland on Menden Road. They're really good. But I wanted to get into today is Martin Luther. We do celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King. You know his legacy. The greatness of the vision that he's seen. You know, the thing I always take away from him is the, you know, to judge people by the content of their character versus the color of their skin. I mean, you can't get any wiser than that. It makes total sense. But I also, what I wanted to talk about today is how that message isn't being well received today, I guess, or different things are being preached. I also, you know, wanted to tackle a lot of things, racism, you know, the so-called, uncomfortable talk that we're all supposed to have, you know, and like you were saying earlier, you know, me and you can have that uncomfortable talk today, you know what I mean? Absolutely. And, you know, so let's tackle it. Like one of the things that I saw in the recent news, which drove me nuts, was from there's a paper here that was circulating around to the parents, and it came from Northside Elementary School in Kentucky, and they were talking about how their student council, you know, basically underrepresents the minorities in the school, and so their way of handling it is that they wanted to hold an election. Right. But regardless of what that election, what the results are, they wanted to make sure certain ethnic group wins the election. Basically, anybody but a white person is what the letter's saying. And, you know, I just don't think that's the way, you know, you can't combat racism with racism.
Agreed. I think, in fact, it's counterintuitive, right? Like you would think that the only way to fight ignorance is with less ignorance in education and awareness. But, you know, going back to that, I think, you know, and me and you a little talked before the show, but looking at their intent, like I think we can agree that how they're rolling it out and what they're doing is certainly not going to be productive. But from an intent standpoint, I think they're fundamentally kind of there's already a flaw in their existing logic. But I think from an intent standpoint, they're saying, look, you know, we have a diverse student population and we have an X number of percentage of our students are, you know, fill one of these buckets of whether it be race or ethnicity. And our current board makeup doesn't represent our student body. Like we don't have a member of our board that fits that, you know, 8% quota or ethnic group. However, what they're really saying in that message without really going in, and I understand, I guess, from their intent standpoint, they're like, well, we want to have someone from that demographic to stand up and speak for these students. Mm-hmm. So while their intent may be somewhat, albeit confused, but noble, I think the issue comes in is that what they're really saying is that a white person or someone outside of that ethnic group cannot be a good representative and represent that population. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, for some reason, they can't speak to them in their needs. And to me, that is an inherently racist comment to make. Like, it may be true on an individual basis. You may have some individual that has no idea of what the plight may be for those particular students or, you know, the economic, the socio dynamics. There may be a lot of cultural unawareness there. But at the same token, to blanket it out and say, in order to do it, we need to have someone from that demographic represent the board. To me, it's more, let's just put a sticker on it. Because I got to be honest with you, and I think we can have this conversation. Their demographics were Native American, Alaskan, you know, native, you know, Cuban.
They pretty much checked all the boxes except for white, basically.
So my question for that is, like, at what point, what does a Cuban person or if someone of Cuban descent have any knowledge as to what may be going on in a black rural family or a, you know, how does that person somehow represent all of these different groups in within their 8% student population? At that point, you have to have a 1-to-1 ratio. Like, you have one person that represents all the Native Americans. You have another person that represents all the blacks. Like,
and what they're insinuating is that pretty much what they're saying is that, you know, all the other races can be sympathetic to, you know, to each other, except for the evil white guys. And you know, that's pretty much what they're saying. And it's racism. You know what I mean? There's no other way around it. It's this whole collective mentality that, you know, all white people are evil. You know, all minorities, you know, are understanding and all that. And that, it, to me, that's the message they're sending. How is it not the message?
And what about Ted Cruz? Is he just I got to be honest with you. I know he's Cuban, but like, is there any more whiter of a dude right now? Like, is there...
Ted Cruz is my guy. I know he's half. He's half Canadian, half Cuban, and that's the thing, right? Like, you know, we're joking about it, but, like, you know, it's that whole stereotype. Well, you know, hey, shouldn't he be acting a certain way? you know what I mean? And that's the trap that you know, this whole collectivism mentality falls into, that you know, if you're a certain race, you need to think a certain way or act a certain way. And again, you know, the whole thing, as I started off the show with Martin Luther King, was, you know, the genius behind the statement. We got to look at everybody as an individual. You know what I mean? Not just the skin color. I mean, and you know, it's one thing I always never understood. How can you be, you know, proud of something you have no control over? You know, you know what I mean? Like when you hear people say, oh, you know, I'm black and I'm proud, or I'm white and I'm proud, I'm, you know, whatever, and I'm proud. It's like, you had nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? So it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's like, you know, let's go one step further with that. Can you be a proud American if you had nothing to do with the establishment of America?
Yeah, I guess because you can carry on, right? Carry on the tradition, or...
Fair enough. No,
I guess.
But again, that's another way that we can sit there and talk about classification. I think when you can identify with something, to a group or a class or whatever that you are a member of, then you can say, mm-hmm. I am proud to be a part of this class or this group or this this thing that I identify with. And I would say, to that extent, we're proud Americans. We identify as Americans, and therefore we can say, well, listen, we are proud of our country. There are times where we can't say that because we're not so proud of it. You know, there is aspects of it we're not going to be so proud of, but certainly for the most part we can say we're proud Americans. And I think to some extent when you talk about people saying, oh, I'm proud to be black, or I'm proud to be this. And I think if that makes them feel good to be proud of being part of something that is either greater than themselves or a group that they identify with, and albeit, you know, live your life the way you want it to live and enjoy the fullness of it. But I guess where it becomes dangerous is when you sort of say, I'm proud of this. But your reason for being proud isn't because of a necessary involvement or an aspect of it being, you know, this healthy thing where you can say, well, look at what we've done, but rather because you are in this, I don't want to say this class of victimization, but like, I don't want to be proud of being in a victim class. Like, I would never want to be in that particular predicament. And to that extent, maybe that's my privilege, I'll be honest with you, in that I don't have to worry about that, you know, and I think to maybe that is part of it, right?
I'm not a fan. I don't buy into that whole, you know, white privilege thing. I think that's a joke. you know, this whole thing, obviously, with the critical race theory is the wrong way to approach, you know, the racism that they, you know, perceive. And, you know, and you know, we were talking earlier again, and, you know, I obviously acknowledge that racism exists. It'll never go away. It happens. You know, I do also believe that it's not happening to the extent that many people would like us to believe that it's happening. And this whole critical race theory, in my opinion, actually worsens the situation, you know, with the way they approach it and the way they handle it. It doesn't help. What are your thoughts on that?
So, well, before we really get into that in particular, and if you can hear my dog through the speaker, let me know and I'll kick her
out.
Yeah,
I can hear him.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't interfere with us, we're good. But I just want to make sure that it not too distracting. But yeah. To talk about, I think we need to define it, right? Like, I hear the terms for the years that the term racism was thrown around. Anything you could put it on, man, it was, that's racist, that's racist, that's racist. And to that extent, I mean, you know, anything that really involves race could very well be racist in its own way because it discusses race in its context. But when you look at the actual definition of what is racism, and you look to Webster or Oxford, you know, they define racism, and I'll read it here if you don't mind, but Oxford Dictionary defines it as prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior. Mm-hmm. So in that, I heard three different, now in that one definition of racism, the culmination, there's a few different parts, right? So they in that one definition, they discuss prejudice, which there is such a thing as racial prejudice. Mm-hmm. And there is racial discrimination, and we know that can still exist. And then there's obviously antagonism and other things of that nature. But the last qualifier of that definition is that the reason behind the prejudice and the discrimination is based on the belief that one's own race is superior, mm-hmm. which is white supremacy, racial supremacy, however you want to call it. And I will be honest with you that the how often we hear the term racist, you would think that this world is full of nothing but Hitlers.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely overused. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Everything.
That clearly was a superior. Like, he was a racial supremacist. He believed in the white Aryan nation. Like, he wanted to show that he had the master race. He was definitely a racist. And I think to some extent, elements of the KKK was definitely racism, per definition was racism. But I don't want to have, and what I hate hearing is when people use that term, when really what they're talking about is racial prejudice and racial discrimination. And I think, you know, to that extent, and again, this is just my perspective of things. Clearly, it's not everyone's perspective, but it's mine. But I can tell you instances where I have seen, borne witness to, or have been around and observed racial prejudice. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we see when we see the cops and how they interact in the Black community. I think, you know, I think the some of the shootings as a result of certain levels of prejudice. I think the discrimination is the part where now, because of MLK, Junior, I think because of his work and the work of the civil rights movement, that has become illegal to discriminate on the basis of race. Okay, so they tried to make the what was otherwise legal discrimination into illegal discrimination because that is supposedly written out on the books, is not allowed to be done. But I think what they often throw the term racism out. And the reason I think people are so, look at it in such an abject way is because it's equated to many people of being like a Hitler or KKK. And I think to the extent in modern era, 2022, I don't feel that there's enough people out there that truly believe that they are superior because of the color of their skin. I don't think that there's enough people out there that truly believe that inherently that because of the color of their skin, they're necessarily superior as humans than people who are not or of a different race. So I reject the term racism as often used in society, because I think that what they're missing is that by using that term, by and even now you started to notice other people are just going right out and saying, we don't want to be confusing. We're not even using racism anymore. We're going to say that that's white supremacy. Everything is white supremacy now. Oh, that's white supremacy.
Well apparently black people can even be white supremacists now. I was reading an article how they were saying how races basically, you know, the same argument that these morons make for gender, how they say it's a social construct. And so they were trying to put race into that same category. And, you know, and that's ways that they can use to attack, you know, people like me, conservatives, basically, who you know, I'm not for the whole victimhood, you know, bullshit and all that stuff. So what they'll say is, well, Felix is a white supremacist. And you know, because they believe that it's a social, it's a way you think now. You know, I mean, that's the message that's being sent out there. And that's pretty disturbing.
But it is disturbing, and that's again, you know, people talk about having the uncomfortable conversation. I think it becomes really uncomfortable when you can't even agree on what it is. So to that extent,
agree.
Be like, well, it's a construct of your mind, and blah blah. Oh, fuck off! Look, that's. You know, according to the definition, and again, you have to define something, right? In order to ever have a conversation, if me and you were having a completely conversation about a car, but in your fucking mind, you think we're talking about a bicycle, we're never going to agree on anything other than maybe that there's some fucking wheels on it.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we're not going to agree because I'm talking about a car. Like both are modes of transportation. Both will get you from point A to point B, but we're having a very different conversation because we're not even agreeing what we're discussing.
Yeah, and, you know, and that, they're always throwing that around how you know, people aren't willing to have that conversation, which I don't buy. you know what I mean? Like I have. I sound like a racist. I have plenty of white friends, and
you know what?
You know, we talk about race. There's no awkwardness around it. You know what I mean? So I just feel like the media is just pushing something that's not there. Again, I understand, and I always got to say it as a qualifier. I understand that racism does exist, but it's definitely not to the extent that they would have you believe. You know what I mean? And again, all I can point to is my own personal relationships. And I don't experience racism in those personal relationships. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you, you just made a statement, right? You said, I believe that racism still exists, but not to the extent that they make it out to be. Now, if we look at the definition of racism as I read it, that it means that someone feels that their race, that they are a superior human, I guess, or you are a less evolved person.
And I guess that's what
racial superiority. Do you feel that that is as, A, when you say racism, are you referring to that level of racism?
I believe that's what I'm referring to. Okay. And but I guess, you know, what you can experience more is the prejudice. You know, and you look at the prejudice, which really means prejudge, right? And that happens all the time. You know what I mean? That happens all the time. Like people just, again, like I'm saying, people just assume you will act a certain way because of your skin color. They're prejudging. That's prejudice. You know what I mean? And so, you know, that you're right. That shouldn't be lumped in with the whole, you know, white supremacy type thing. That's just ignorance.
In sometimes it's, well, I don't want to say, yes, it's ignorance. It's ignorant to the individual. It's ignorant with regard to your personal experiences or looking beyond your own personal experiences in some aspects. But prejudice happens all the time. So that's why I wanted to, I'm glad we talked about that piece of it. And we let's get to the crux, because I, you know, if we look at that definition and we say, look, we think that the whole racial supremacy thing is very low. I got to tell you, as long as I've been alive and I've met a lot of people over my years, multi-state traveling everywhere, I don't know if I've ever met a white supremacist. I don't know if I've ever met someone who truly believes inherently that they're superior because of their race. And I think if I did, I'd be disgusted by them and they would be shunned by me 100%. I think that's a fucking gross. Honestly, I would say that that's borderline mental illness, but not in a good way. Like in the same way, sociopathy. That's some fucked up belief system. If you have that, like, I feel bad for you in a way that I hope you die. Like, that's just something. And that's exactly the, like, that is a fucked up, twisted belief system. And if that's what you believe, then to me, you're lumped into the same category as, like, you know, fucking terrorists and all the other crazy shit out there that we don't want any part of society. Like, you just you don't belong. But and we can agree that, like, racial discrimination is illegal for the most part. I mean, does it still exist? I'm sure it does. Because, again, if you acknowledge that prejudice exists, which we do, I think we both agree with that, then by default, we acknowledge that there's probably some level of discrimination that is created by that prejudice, whether or not it is inherently discriminatory, meaning that it's, you know, something where on an application, I just refuse anyone who's black to from applying, because that's obviously, if I'm caught doing that, it's wrong. But if I were to inadvertently do that without being more cognizantly aware that that's what I'm doing, because of my prejudicial understanding of whatever, then you now have racial discrimination resulting from your prejudice. But I don't think it necessarily rises to the fact that they're believing that they're inherently superior of a race, and therefore you're an inferior being. I think rather it stems from this understanding of prejudice. I think, you know, I'd rather address the prejudice. Prejudice happens all the damn time. And there's a lot of reasons for it. You know what I mean? I hate to say it, but I you know, I grew up in Pawtucket, just like, you know, you weren't far off. Did you ever try going into like one of those prep schools? Just walk around, dude. Walk around a prep school or go to like someone's yacht club.
Yeah.
And tell me how you feel.
Well, yeah, it's funny because, you know, I grew up in Pawtucket, Central Falls, Providence. I bounced around all over the place, and it's a different world sometimes. You know, it's funny because, like, my own kids, obviously, they didn't experience any of that. They grew up here in Lincoln, and like my wife likes to say, they've always their life has been rainbows and butterflies. You know what I mean? And it's funny because they don't relate to certain things the way I do. You know what I mean? And I assume and I forget, you know what I mean, that they didn't have the same upbringing that I did. You know what I mean? So it's pretty funny.
But going back again, I go back to the prejudice thing. In my guess is, And I hope your sons never have to experience it, to be honest with you. And I really don't. I hope that
even so far, knock on wood, I don't think they've experienced anything, or they certainly haven't told me about it anyway. And again, in today's society, it's not, I don't believe it occurs as much as they would have you think. And now if it did, you know, they would be too prime people to be experiencing that, because, you know, they both went to an all-boy Catholic school, which is probably 90%, 95% white, you know what I mean? So you would, you know, if society was the way the media is projecting it, you know, you would think they'd be coming home, "Dad, I almost got lynched today." You know what I mean? And that's not the case.
That's a different level of prejudice, right? I'm talking about something more subtle, right? Let's talk about something subtle. And I'm going to relate a story to you. And you know, you can tell me afterwards. I'd be interested to get your thoughts. But I remember, you know, growing up, I was probably a teenager, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I had to have been, I guess, older than 21 because I was going to a liquor store. Now, I was there with a friend of mine, and I won't mention his name. But I went into it was on the east side of Providence. We walked into this liquor store. Now, I stepped outside for a minute first, finished up my cigarette. At the time, I was a smoker. And I followed him in shortly thereafter. And what I noticed is when I walked in the doors, I noticed that the clerk behind the counter was scoping bad. Now, all this dude wanted to do was buy a bottle of Lancers because he was into port. I don't know. He had like a Jack Kerouac moment or some shit. I don't know. So he just wanted a bottle of port, and we were going to drink some wine and chill out for the afternoon. So he was in there trying to buy his bottle of port. I was, you know, going to the counter to grab my cigarettes. But I noticed that this dude was grilling my boy. Now, if you looked at how my friend was dressed, he's wearing cargo pants, like, you know, boots or whatever, you know, a polo shirt, not unlike this that I'm wearing now, like a nice jacket or a coat. Yeah, he had dreads, but like he was clean cut. Like, let me tell you something. What he didn't look like is some dude that rolled out of the hood with a, you know, blinged out grill, tats on his face, and like, you know, some Raiders hoodie, which was popular back in the day, you know. But and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But like, yeah. he didn't look like some gangbanger. Like he looked like a, you know, he wasn't quite Carlton, but you know, at the same token, he didn't look any more dangerous than any other person in the world, you know. But I remembered the way that this dude responded to him. And I noticed that it was right then and there I realized this dude hasn't once taken a look at me. I could have robbed that motherfucker blind. He was so busy paying attention to my friend that he completely ignored that I was there, other than when I went to the counter. And he, lo and behold, he had no idea we were together. So I think he was almost taken aback. Like now all of a sudden he'll ignore my friend because, you know, he's accompanied by a white man. He must be okay. And I thought about it, and I even asked my buddy about it afterwards. I said, "Man, how do you stay cool with that? Like, you had to have seen it. Like, you had to have noticed it." And he goes, "Of course." He goes, "That's day to day." He's like, "I'm surprised you observed it and noticed it." And you know, when we had a conversation, that I guess that was the uncomfortable conversation at the time, and we talked about that and how that prejudice of that, you know, and that was a prime example of prejudice. Now, mm-hmm. was he committed against? Did the guy refuse to serve him because of the color of his skin? Did he refuse to ring him out? Hell no. Did he refuse him admission like it would have back in the day prior to MLK? No, it wasn't about that. No, he let it be, but he automatically assumed that, or made this prejudgment that because he's black, he's a bigger threat to my inventory and my business than this mm-hmm. coming in who's white.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we left the store. We talked a little bit about it. And again, it was just one of those things that I remember that moment. And you asked me, how do I remember what I don't even know what I was wearing, but I remember what he was wearing because I thought at the time, maybe had he been wearing like a Raider hoodie, had his baggy pants on and like all bling. Like, if he looked like a gangbanger, I'd be like, oh shit, you know what? That explains it. But he didn't. The only thing that made him look anything different than anyone else is, what
was the color?
The dreads, maybe, but I got to tell you what, they were nice dreads and they had little seashells.
it's definitely the thing of prejudging. I mean, the only way we would know for sure, obviously, you'd have to ask the guy, hey, you know, what was your, you know, what were you thinking? You know, in his mind, he was probably thinking, well, there's two people in there. I can only see, watch one at one time. I decided to watch the black guy because, you know, you for prejudging.
I probably would have been more of a threat to his inventory than
ever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know.
No, I never did anything like that.
I mean, obviously, it's wrong. You know what I mean? But, yeah. We would have to ask the guy what was going through his mind.
So, and I know that you and I have talked, too, about how times where you've been pulled over. And you've been pulled over. And sometimes they've harassed you a little bit more than they would have maybe if they pulled me over for a stoplight. Or any number of reasons, or just driving through a white community, you know. So, and I will tell you that it's that prejudice, at least on that basis, that if I were to sit there and put my finger on it and say, shit, is that my privilege, right? Is that because I've never had to experience that based on the color of my skin? Is that my privilege that I deny all the time? And the reality is that it should never be defined. If that is what privilege is, the fact that I haven't had to experience that discriminate or that,
yeah. prejudice, you know, that
it's the thing. What you're doing is you're saying that I'm not the standard. That somehow I'm inherently getting more bang for my buck, that you're, you know, that the prejudicial behavior is normal, and the not having that is the abnormal.
My only thing with that, you know what I mean, with the whole privilege thing is that, you know, to ring true, you'd have to say again, it's a privilege because that's how all cops think, which we know that's not the case. Are you privileged when there's a racist cop, you know, on duty? Well, maybe, you know what I mean? But that's because there's a racist cop on duty. And same thing, vice versa. You know, you might find a black guy who doesn't like, wants to give white people, you know, crap just for the hell of it, or whoever, Jews, what, you know, whoever, for the crap of it. So that's why, you know, I hesitate to say it's a pretty thing.
But understand that, I'm obviously, to some extent, playing some devil's advocate, right? And again, I think part of the conversation is really to try to understand what it is that everyone's all upset about. You know, and to me, it's always about coming down to the wire. So if we can sit there and say, like, we understand people shouldn't prejudge based on race. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons people prejudge all the time. They can prejudge, and I mentioned earlier, they prejudge me based on where I grew up. A lot of times I get prejudged based on my accent, especially living out here in the West, in the desert. They hear the East Coast accent, and they automatically assume a plethora of things. It doesn't, not always necessarily the best. But they hear the East Coast accent, they just hear from the East Coast. Like, people will prejudge you on anything they can
agree. And prejudging sometimes is not a bad thing. You know what I mean? If I'm walking down the street and, you know, on my left side, I see a bunch of old ladies. And then on the right side, I see some young people who I think look like thugs, you know what I mean? So I'm prejudging. Guess what? I'm walking the other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not always a bad thing. But obviously, when you prejudge somebody, and it depends on the situation, I guess, is the context of the prejudging.
And it's also how you let that prejudice affect how you then interact with that person.
Yes.
Or if you decide to interact with that person. You know, if you may have that prejudice, but it depends on, and again, you have to almost, it's like you have to recognize it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know this individual. I only know these characteristics. And based on my either experience or understanding of that characteristic, here's what the impression I have of that person. Well, that's a prejudice based on your own life story and history and what your exposure has been. So to that extent, I think the only real way to fight that level of ignorance is to have more exposure, is to, you know, if you look at everyone that comes in your store and that has black skin and you automatically think that they're the bigger threat, that says something more about the individual, but also what their experiences have been. And mm-hmm. maybe that means that they watch the news. Maybe that they've been robbed and most of the people that robbed them have been black.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I was saying earlier. You got to speak to the person to see what they were thinking, what was going through their mind, you know,
But what you just said is important, right? So now we're talking about, here's a person who is acting in a prejudicial way, making mm-hmm. my friend feel uncomfortable because now my friend had done nothing to this dude. You know what I mean? So you got a guy that you need to better understand, because here's the thing with the lawmakers and all the politicians and everything else. They're trying to find a way to pass a law to outlaw this dude's prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot do that. There is no law that you can make that's going to make him think differently about when a black guy walks into his store.
Correct.
Never.
No.
The only thing that's going to change his mind is if all of a sudden he has less bad experiences, or sees less bad, or he gets to make friends with people in that group that he currently prejudges. It doesn't mm-hmm. even matter with skin color or not. But in order to fight that, you have to have him more exposed to the upsides of things.
Mm-hmm. You know, now,
if you were to legislate that.
No, you can't legislate that. So what do you think then about this whole, critical race theory as the answer to solve these problems? Because again, I think all it does is cause more division, obviously.
No shit, it doesn't cause division. Now, again, do I think that there should be a unfiltered access to facts in actual historical accounts in the teaching of students in schools? Maybe at the high school level, I think at the early stages, I don't think it's quite okay for, telling Johnny the 5-year-old that, his ancestors might have owned his cousin or his friend next door. Like, no, fuck them. I mean, that is just too young for that shit. But yeah. Do I think that when you start getting into like that more of an adult-ish, like later high school, to have a real account of the truth in, some of the aspects of that? Absolutely, you need to have a truth. Were we taught that? Yeah. I remember hearing about slavery. I remember learning about the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King. I remember hearing about Malcolm X. Like, I remember learning about this in school. Mm-hmm. In a critical and a factual account.
Yeah, I get that argument all the time. I hear people will tell me, oh, they don't teach in a school. I'm like, where were you? Because I learned, like you just said, about civil rights, slavery, certain civil rights leaders and all that stuff. So it's definitely taught there. I mean, do they spend a whole year or semester on it? No, because they have, U.S. history has a lot of different things to cover. You can't just stay on one thing. If you want to take, American Black history when you're in college, go ahead. I'm sure those classes are available. But again, I don't think that's what people are complaining about when it comes to CRT. I think it's the CRT, the way they assess the blame. You know what I mean? They say, well, this happens because of the white people. You know what I mean? Or white people can't, they're not capable of empathizing with you because of the color of their skin. You know what I mean? Those are the things that I think has people up in arms. It's not necessarily teaching history, because history is history. If you're gonna, if somebody comes and says, oh, I'm teaching them the facts about this, nobody's gonna say anything about that. But if I come in and say, well, I'm teaching them that, minorities are oppressed by white people because of this, okay, now I have a problem. You know what I mean? Because now you're assigning blame, you're projecting your beliefs as fact, and that's a problem.
Well, I think that's a problem. And I will say this, I think it's a problem in any teaching subject, because what I don't want is, the whole notion of school, right? And again, we go back, if you wanted to, we could go back all the way down to like how the elementary system was formed and, the grammar, rhetoric, logic, I mean, the original foundations of our education system. We could go that way. But at the same token, I don't think we have to. The reality is that it's supposed to open your mind enough, give you a taste. You're not going to learn how to be a chemical engineer by learning the periodic table of elements in high school, or learning that, if I pour these two chemicals, I can create a volcano. That's not going to teach you everything you need to know about the subject of chemistry, but it's supposed to introduce you to topics in a scientific way and a scientific principle. So that if you have an interest in that, you can explore that on your own. Learning in education should be lifelong. You should never just expect that when you graduate high school that you are suddenly a master of all things. No, it's just you would now have exposed yourself and opened your mind to several elements. And I think to your point, if you have an interest in a particular area of history, you should absolutely pursue that, whether through formal education in college or just reading a fucking book. I don't really care how you do it. But if you have a passion behind it, you should absolutely do that and follow that passion and read it. And then if you want to understand other people's beliefs or interpretations of history or in like a critical race theory, I suggest anyone, you want to read about critical race theory, go ahead, buy all the books.
Exactly, because, school, as you're saying, is there to teach you how to think, not what to think. That's the biggest problem.
and I would join you on that. Absolutely. I think we would fully agree. I don't agree with the theory. I'll be honest with you. Does every theory agree with it?
It's absolute nonsense.
But that said, you know,
the guy there who
theory, is that one's the truth.
Youngkin, who just won the governorship in Virginia, basically ran his whole campaign against critical race theory, and he won. And I think you're going to see a lot of that happening up and down the ballots in 2022, because that is a major issue. There's been polls taken on it. You know, parents are very concerned about what's going on in the classrooms of their children, and they should be. Because nobody wants to send their kids to school to either, one, be told that they're a victim, or, you know, or to be told that you're an oppressor. You know what I mean? It's not what we send our kids to school. You know, I would like my kids to go to school to learn some math, you know, maybe some English, some science, and yes, some history. But, you know, but keep your deranged theories out of the classroom, please.
Yeah. Or at least to the extent possible, try to stick with real accounts, like actual, like, this shit happened. Here's mm-hmm. the documented proof that this happened on this date and in history, and leave the interpretive piece out of it. Like, mm-hmm. you want to try to put together some intent. Well, there's enough. Like, for example, you want to know why, you know, Columbus discovered America, or whatever the case may be, or there is enough actual accounts and recorded evidence to discuss that, without going into this hyperbole or this other belief that exists behind it. To me, stick to the facts you know, and then let the interpretive stuff happen later on in life. Like, now you can say, well, shit, I learned through reading this other book that maybe Columbus already knew how to get here, and that he knew he wasn't landing in India. And, like, I mean, there's 100 different other theories out there, and it's okay mm-hmm. to explore them, but explore them after you have a basic understanding. It's like, telling me, listen, man, why don't you do some calculus, and you haven't taught me arithmetic yet? Like, what the fuck? Like, exactly. How about we take the 2 + 2 = 4 and, like, let me get on with my business, and then yeah. we discuss how to, you know, apply that to statistical anomalies later. Like, we'll get into that, but only if I have a real interest in math. I don't know. That's where I think the education is really faltering, is that you're not teaching these kids a foundation to which they can build upon. Like, the whole point is this – having this foundation of knowledge and have it be just enough to where they could enter the working class, because they're going to be functional citizens in society. But also, mm-hmm. but if you want to go beyond that, well, then by all means, do it.
Yeah. Here's the other thing too, like, what good are you doing? And you're actually, in my opinion, tearing down the foundation when you're trying to teach these kids that, you know, basically the whole system is rigged against them. You know what I mean? So how am I supposed to, you know, as a young mind, you know, growing up into adulthood, how am I supposed to think? Like I would be thinking I have no shot, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the teachers keep telling me the system is rigged against me. I'm a minority. I'm oppressed. You know what I mean? So you got to really think about what it's doing to the psyche of these kids, or, you know, or even, you know, I don't believe in white privilege, but I do believe in white guilt. You know what I mean? There's a lot of white people out there who feel very guilty, you know, because of all these things, you know, and no white person should be feeling guilty because their great, 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 great grandfather, you know, was a slave owner. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the thing. That's not why they're guilty. Do you know what's funny? You mentioned white guilt, because I love this shit. Look, I will tell you this, I don't feel an ounce of fucking white guilt. Not a fucking bit. But here's the thing. Everyone that I find that believes in this privilege idea or believes in this white guilt, which is, to me, one and the same, right? Why is it they all come from affluent families or have never known want, have never known hardship? Mm-hmm. Their hardest decision was, you know, what fancy clothing designer they wanted to get shit from. Like, they always had everything they needed. So are they feeling guilty just because they never had to struggle? Like, is that really the guilt? Like, so they look at someone else who's doing not as well, and they're like, oh, Well, that's because I'm privileged. Yeah, you fucking are privileged. It has nothing to do with the race, motherfucker. It's because you literally have never known how the decision of whether or not you're going to pay a fucking bill or put food on the table. Like, you've never known that. That's hard.
With race, because, you know, there is a such thing as green privilege. You know what I mean? That I really believe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Some people are born, you know, to be in affluent communities, and, you know, they don't experience the same things, you know, as me and you did growing up, for example.
No shit. You know,
so, but again, that's not a race thing, and that's the problem with the whole critical race theory, is that they try to pin everything on race, and that's just not the case. You know, I mean, there's sometimes different answers to that problem. It's not all race.
I think it's very little of it is race. I think it's all economic disparity.
Totally. You know, same thing with the court systems. You know what I mean? I argue people that. People say, oh, you know, white people this, white people that. And then, you know, I always point out, OJ.
OJ.
And you know, the only color that unfortunately matters in the court system is green. You know what I mean? Now, if you want to have a discussion on that and how it affects, you know, the judicial system, that's a real conversation, you know what I mean? But don't come at me with the whole, because, you know, for every white person you can tell me got off, I can tell you a black person who got off lightly too. You know
what I mean? There's
countless of kids that you hear, you know, got accused of rape or got found guilty of rape, and then they walk away because, you know, they're a big time player at the school that they, you know, they go to or something like that. So again, it's not always race. It's something, you know, again, there's a lot of issues in this world, and to try to just simplify it to that one, you know, common denominator, race, is intellectually dishonest, intellectually lazy, and you know, it causes more harm than anything.
I definitely agree with you that it doesn't do anyone any good. Again, I think, you know, but going back to, you know, that whole idea of the prejudice and the racial prejudice. I'm going to propose an argument that the current language that's being thrown around, the highlights to things like equity and all the critical race theory, I think does more harm than good, for sure. But I think it actually creates more racial prejudice than it otherwise would heal. And I think if all of these measures are supposedly being put in place to help fight prejudice, which we agree is probably the more prevalent of the, you know, the multitude of areas that in which racism kind of is construed. But to get beyond the prejudice, all of these things, I think, are creating additional prejudice. I think they're actually creating more prejudice. Particular point, anyone who watched the news during all those protests and riots, do you think that as a result, if you know nothing else, do you think that anyone who supports Black Lives Matter is going to be looked at favorably from a prejudicial standpoint or unfavorably as a result of all those protests? Do you think that all of these things where everyone's, you know, talking about critical race theory and making a proponent, do you feel that that's creating more prejudice? I think it's definitely putting things in a more negative light. I think it's drawing more negative attention,
creating a lot of resentment. You know what I mean? You know, who wants to sit there and be called a racist all day? You know what I mean? And without, you know, somebody knowing you or anything, or, you know, somebody just accusing you of things, again, just based on the color of your skin. And again, it all comes back to, you know, my earlier statement with, you know, Martin Luther King. Again, he said it perfectly. We need to judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And it's just so, it's shallow, it's demeaning. There's nothing good can ever come of it. But yet here we are, you know, today. And you know, it's sad that I think we're making a lot of progress, actually. And we have, because obviously, you know, it's 2022, it's not 1960, you know what I mean? And I mean, we'd be foolish not to recognize the progress that has occurred. Ooh. But I can definitely say in the last 5 or 6 years, we've definitely taken steps backwards now.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that is because of all of the different motions that you, again, all the different movements we're hearing about, is creating a lot of negative attention and creating additional prejudices. And I think, you know, to that extent, I agree with you. I think coming around full circle, I mean, we started the conversation talking about race. We started talking about Martin Luther King. I think we end really kind of looping all the way back. We end with him in a sense that if you look at that phrase that you started with and you said, you know, judge a person, literally to judge, by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. So if you have prejudice, you're prejudging someone based on the color of their skin, then you're not adhering to the very thing that he wanted you to do, which is to look to someone's character and not just their color. And I think to that extent, we've almost as a society started to regress because of the things that are trying to, I guess, in a theoretical world, trying to make things better. I think they're actually making things worse and bringing more attention to color of their skin rather than addressing really more of the content. And I think to that extent that they're doing a disservice to his teachings and
definitely
more harm than good. I do want to go back to one quick thing though. And I don't know what we are doing for time, but I heard a lot when people talk about critical race theory and people talk about schools and education. And I wanted to get your thoughts. You're involved in, obviously heavily involved in your son's upbringing as well as their education. And, you know, they go into the schools and the whole nine yards. So you got a little bit more of a finger on the pulse than maybe I do. But I often hear the expression, we're raising critical thinkers. And in that, you know, and maybe that would be the case, and I'd buy into that, if you were actually asking them to critically think on an issue rather than spoon-feeding them what you believe. And I think if you're really interested in developing critical thinkers, wouldn't you say, okay, kids, here are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you think that is?
Yeah.
Think. That is critical thinking. You know, like, be critical. Exactly.
What's going on today is definitely not critical thinking. I mean, just take a look at what big tech has done over these past few years, especially when it comes to the whole COVID-19 thing, right? If you even veer off anywhere near is not being pushed by, you know, Dr. Fauci or the CDC or you know, Pfizer or whoever, whatever, if you question it, they just silence you. You know what I mean? And that's a shame. Like, there's no such thing as settled science. You know what I mean? that's insane. Anything should be questioned. Anything should be talked about. And it should be invited to talk about. Like, so if you believe, you know, somebody saying something incorrectly, then, you know, you confront them and you debate a topic. Like, I don't understand, like, this, I disagree with you, so you must be shut down. Instead of, okay, I disagree with you, let's talk about it. Maybe we can figure out how we can get on the same page, or maybe we won't get on the same page. But, you know, the dialogue is what's necessary. And what we're seeing today is an end to the dialogue, period. You know what I mean? It's just, you don't agree with me, I'm canceling you, I'm shutting you down. Mm-hmm. And that is not critical thinking whatsoever. That's just, you know, yeah, I'm going to spoon feed you what to say and you repeat it and don't you dare question me.
I read an article the other day that came up, again, these Google feeds, man, they love to just throw like random articles out, right? Some of them are funny because I'm like, I want to read the one about the cool panda bear or something. But like, what I don't like, they sometimes must read my mind and they're like, I'm going to throw something that's going to trigger them. And so they get these posts. One of them was like the girl or the woman that does that used to do Veronica Mars. What was that actress name? Like, she's married to Dak Shepard. I don't know, man. She's an actress, right? A little blondie, right? So they were all, I guess, social media was all up in arms, and it was like a whole article was written, like how dare she do this? And because she posed with like the local sheriff's office, mm-hmm. and took a photograph of the sheriff's, And they're like, oh, that's the LA County Sheriff's Office. They've been known for racism. You who say you're not a racist is now posting pictures with the sheriff's office. Now, who knows what the hell she was doing there or whatever the case may be. But just because she posts a picture with a couple of sheriffs, she's now being, you know, she has all these people that are like all up in arms about it. First of all, fuck off. All right. That's the first thing I want to say. And second of all, like that kind of collectivism, you're exactly right. No one asked her, hey, what were you doing there? Like, why did you post them? Like, well, maybe she was there to teach awareness of social issues. Yeah. How the fuck do you know she was there? Like you just saw her picture, you completely ignore any other facts involved with it, and you're just going to go with whatever this hype machine is. And to that extent, social media is fucking evil. And I've said this 100 times over, and I cannot say it enough. If you're going to do anything to promote critical thinking, get your fucking kid off social media immediately. Get them off Facebook, get them off YouTube, get them all that. They're not ever going to watch this, and I don't fucking care. Here's the thing. Get them the fuck off of social media. Open up a motherfucking book.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
or sit down with them and talk. Like, yeah. How about that for a novel idea?
Have to prepare your kids or children in general, before they get on social media. If they know how to think for themselves, they'll be okay. But if you can't just send them blindly into that thing unprepared, because unfortunately people believe quick things too quickly, just because it's on, it must be true, it's on the internet. You know what I mean? Like that type of mentality will drive you nuts. So yeah, you got to get them to think critically and to think for themselves. And because I come across, I'm on social media all the time, and I come across stuff that you look at and you question or you laugh it off. But then there's other people that come across things and they take that as as fact, and it's scary.
I will say this, in to your point, I don't think you can necessarily, I've avoided social media except for LinkedIn, and for being a professional, it's hard for me to not be a part of LinkedIn, but all the rest of the social media platforms I've gotten off of, I have no desire to be on them, and really I feel like my mental health has been greatly improved as a result of not being on social media. And as well, to some extent, my faith in humanity, which was already at an all-time low, but now I'm saying I'm probably riding about Biden's approval numbers right now. But the so I'm still in the low 30s. But ultimately, I think what it comes right down to is if you're going to have your kid on social media, and again, I hope that I know that not all households are perfect, and not all the time are the parents involved in the kid's life, So I hope in a perfect world that would not be the case. I know that it exists, but whether you have to go to your parents or you have parents that are more engaged with the kids, if you're going to have a kid that's on social media, my hope is that when they are done looking at whatever they're looking at that day, whatever they're viewing, whatever they're seeing, whatever they're hearing, whether they're watching this program and they wonder what we're talking about, and maybe something we said they don't necessarily agree with, or they are confused and they don't really know how to put that in perspective, talk to someone. And I hope that someone can facilitate that critical thought process to say, okay, what is it about that they said, or what is it you read, or what post, made you upset? Like what did you hear? What did you see? And, take it from both sides, the person who was fighting for or against, like those perspectives, there's probably some merit to those perspectives, whatever they may be, or why a person would post something the way they do. Try to understand or try to see it from that other, like I don't want to say walk a mile in their shoes, but try to visualize what that walk would feel like,
But we need to approach things with an open mind and be tolerant of other viewpoints, and that's key. And, you kind of reminded me a little bit of the argument that I would always have with people when it comes to, the Confederate statues. You know what I mean? And, you know, and I thought I think they're a great tool. Like if you're walking by one with your child and they say, hey, daddy, who's that? And then, you know, that, that gives you the opening to speak about exactly what it is and what they did, what they represented and this and that. It doesn't mean you, you idolize that person. You know what I mean? It just means they're a figure in history. They're there. It was obviously a very important part of our history and it should be talked about. You know, as I don't think we gain anything by tearing them down and hiding it and, you know, and try to act like it never happened. I think that, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. And I think you can lead, imagine all the great, you're right, man. Imagine all the great conversations you could have, you know, walk, like, for example, say you're walking by a statue of Lee. Now in Arizona, they recently renamed a road that was Robert E. Lee Boulevard. They got rid of it and they're putting something else in there. But when you start to think about that, that motherfucker was basically responsible for having Arizona as a state. You know, before he was fighting for the Southern armies, for the Confederate armies, he was doing amazing things, fighting for the country, the Western. I mean, like he's one of the greatest military minds in our history, but he's always going to now be blackmarked for his role in the Civil War, and not for all of his other achievements and in platitudes that he earned. As a member of the country, I mean, he was a great military general. When the country divided, he went to his country, which was his home state. And you can even talk about how back then, at that time, there wasn't this nationalism that you feel currently. When you think of yourself as an American, it doesn't matter what state you're from, it doesn't matter where you live, you're an American first. In that, but that notion, that understanding of we're representing America, wasn't always the case historically. Now you can go back to the history books, you know, and say, remember when you learned about, you know, you can talk to them about history that they learned in high school and say, you know, at that point in time, people that came from those states, that was their, like that, they were very much identified with that group that was, I'm a Virginian. I'm a Virginian first. And so that notion of identifying with your state, not your country, was one of the shit. You can even go into the further and discuss how that was why the country was formed as a republic. You know, you could get into that whole notion of a union of states versus we're all going to give up our individual identity and we're all going to become one country. No, that's not what they wanted even back then. Why? Because they identified with the geography and the state they belonged to.
So are you saying that General Lee was not an orange Dodge Challenger that was driven by Bo and Luke Duke?
Every time I have images of that car, first of all, badass. All right. I won't even tell you. Tell me when you were a kid, you didn't at least once try to jump through your window of your fucking car. Like you were some bad, like, or slide across the fucking hood like you were in, like, an action movie. Now, Griffin, tell me it didn't end well because you know it didn't. But
I used to love that show. I used to pretend me and a neighbor, they used to come over and we used to go under the picnic table and pretend it was the General Lee. And, you know, we would slide in under the, you know, through the seat, the sitting thing and pretend we were driving. Yeah, we were driving, and I always wanted to be Bo, and actually, we'd always fight over who wanted to be Bo.
it was a great show. It was a period show, and but you know, when you think about the again, if you look beyond the flag as a symbol of like slavery and oppression, you think of it as, you know, being part of that state you grew up in, or that culture that you grew up in. I mean, shit, even the flags of those states now still have some elements of that Confederate flag built into the very flag itself. It's not going away.
No.
You know?
No. And again, instead of canceling, we need to start dialogue. That's the thing. Talk about it. This is what it represented and this and that. You're offended? Oh, well, okay, tough shit. You know? Don't look at it. What do you want me to say?
But how can you be offended if you're looking at Daisy?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, more than General Lee, let's talk about Daisy.
Hey, she started a whole Paul Bowman.
I mean, shit, dude. Like that was, you know. Anyway, I all of a sudden I heard whispers in the corner. And I was being directed by the boss. But no, and again, I think to that extent, I go back to that whole critical thinkers, you know, trying to teach critical thinking and try to, no, it's, high school is not supposed to teach critical thinkers. All right. As parents, that you should be raising critical thinkers. You should be always encouraging people to think critically about everything. And that means everything you read on social media. It means everything you read, even the stuff you learn in college. Nothing is ever not worthy of hearing two sides or multiple sides, not just one or two, multiple faceted sides to every single story, to every single thing you hear. Understand perspectives. Understand. So that's how you really think critically. Don't accept what you hear from one person just because it aligns with your personal beliefs or views. Do you think that all of a sudden they must be right? Question everything. Question where you even got your own fucking viewpoints from. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a critical thinker. All right. When you can sit there and look at it and say, all right, it's not just this side and this side, but it's 500 sides here and 300 sides here. And you start to really like look at this shit like a family tree. And it goes generationally. Yeah. You realize
most topics, what I always say, there's never, you know, it's never as easy as black and white. There's all shades of gray. You know what I mean? There's all shades of gray. And it's never, the answer is never as easy as we all make it out to be. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, we all compartmentalize things and, you know, throw things in certain categories just because, you know, it's easier. But at the end of the day, it's never that simple.
And to that extent, also, I go back to the definition of things. If you are going to have a conversation with another person from a different point of view, and you are going to have whether you debate something or have that dialogue, make sure you're on the same page. Make sure you're talking about the same foundation. Because if you're both coming at it and you're on the same exact playing field, then you can bring your ideas to the table because you're then building in talking about it, but you're starting with that same basis understanding. Then you guys can bring all your beliefs and then you can have a real conversation. That's how you become a critical thinker. Like to me, it's not what you learn in high school. That just builds you that foundation. That gives you enough to be armed with the basic knowledge to then be able to then have that conversation after the fact. But to that extent, you need to be critically thinking. Think about, and again, I don't care what it is. Always be a critical thinker. But I don't want the school's responsibility to teach me to do critical thinking. Again, I would want you to encourage you to do it on your own.
Yes.
I don't want the teacher telling you what they think as in making that into somehow being you being a critical thinker. No, in fact, if you have a teacher that tells you that shit, you should be questioning where they got that or why they felt that way.
Definitely, definitely. And on that note, we're going to wrap this up. Chris, thanks again. Well, actually, Nadia, let me see you again because we got to come up with a new intro here since you are now a co-host here. So we'll
promote it finally. I feel so special, shit. Yeah.
I'd reserve those sentiments for now if I were you.
In that case, till next time, folks.
Yes, sir. Thanks again, Chris.
Have a good one, man. God bless.
Well, folks, hope you enjoyed that. We tried to tackle some very sensitive issue there, you know, the issue of racism on this great day where we recognize Dr. Martin Luther King. Again, true words were never uttered, and that is to judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. That being said, again, thank you for joining us. But before I go, I do want to send a heartwarming condolences, heartfelt condolences to Kuka and her family. We lost Kuka the other day. May she rest in peace. May her soul find comfort in the glory of our Lord. You will be missed.